attached to the mic with a boom ping ping. Wisdom sharper than a beast's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom ping ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom ping ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday, August 4th, 2026, exactly 1 week from today. Wisconsin will have its much-discussed primary election. I hope you decide to exercise your right, be a civic participant in this election, and then come Wednesday, August 12th, we're going to complain about everything. So I'm very much so looking forward to that. A lot of issues have been discussed in the Democratic primary election, including which direction the Democratic Party should go in. The Republican Party is essentially fixed, and they will have their nominee. And if you are more of an optimistic person, you believe that us having a new governor, which is certainly guaranteed because Tony Evers is not running again, if this brings an opportunity for a new direction or positive change, a lot of people have made it known their sentiments and feelings on the issues of the day, and it's a whole host of them. It could be AI data centers, or it could be the high cost of rent and housing, the overall economy, gas prices. It could be the war, so it could be international issues, national issues, local issues. Everybody has a gripe with what is going on. And maybe, just maybe, you believe that with a new governor, some of these problems that we are often discussing will be remedied. I appreciate your optimism. I really do. We need people like you to maintain a positive outlook and to maintain some hope and hopefulness, because other than you people, everybody's going to be all sad and angry and getting all violent and whatnot. But if you are the kind of person that is not as optimistic and you're tired of waiting, you are tired of waiting for anti-crime policies to take root. You are tired of waiting for Democrats and Republicans to work together and put together thoughtful policy that serves the best interests of Wisconsin or Milwaukee. If you just can't wait any longer for us to fix or fully fund public education, if you are so tired of your taxes going up, the assessments of your home going up, which isn't necessarily equated to the value of your home. It is how the municipality wants to tax your home. So if the municipality says your house is now assessed at $500,000, even though you can only sell it for $250,000, you're going to be paying taxes on a $500,000 home. And some people are very angry about that because perhaps their wages have not gone up commensurate with taxes. I'll do you one better. And I push very hard against this. The increased sales tax that we are seeing in Milwaukee. And I think most people have either forgotten about it or it's just washed over in the overall conversation about higher prices and tariffs and whatever. But people are really starting to feel that 2.2% increase in our city of Milwaukee and county of Milwaukee combined sales taxes. That is, and it adds up. And maybe you don't notice it right away, but for every $100 you spend, $8 essentially is going to sales taxes. That's an additional $2 per hundred. And if you actually looked at how much money you spend, which be careful when you do because you're going to hurt yourself. Whenever I just go through my little statements and I just look at this money that I have spent, I sprain my eyeballs because I can't believe. And a lot of times I forget. You know when you use your card all willy-nilly? Try not to use your card all willy-nilly. Oh, you got to stop at the gas station. You want to get a soda pop. Or you got to buy something really quick, or you just give a couple of dollars to the vending machine, whatever the case it is, and you're going through your statements. And I swear somebody has gotten a hold of my account because I don't remember spending $19 at the Chinese restaurant, even though that sounds like something I absolutely would do. You ever look at your bank statement and think it's lying to you? Like, I don't remember spending money on that. But if you look at the amount of money that you spend in a month or a year, holy smokes. A lot of times people will spend more money in a calendar year than they actually made. I don't know what the math is on that. But an additional $2.20 for every $100 you spend, that was the sales tax increase. And that's an unfair tax if you ask me, because everybody has to pay that. Now, we do have a handful of few things that are tax exempt in the state of Wisconsin. Not many. Certain food items are tax exempt, but even that is inconsistent. And so if you're just tired of the increased taxes and you're tired of the increased crime, you know, in the city of Milwaukee, we always fear the summer for the crime upticks, but we love the summer because of the activities that it brings. And it seems in the last couple few summers, those activities that we love, being outside, going to the different festivals and the street festivals and the violence that always arrives at the same time as the warm weather. It seems like there's been this weird clash of the titans. So some of the outdoor events that we enjoy have been met with these upticks in violence. And the only thing I've ever asked of you, and I don't ask much of you because I don't want to be disappointed. I asked you one thing, and I talk about it all year long. And I hope somewhere, somehow, these things that I ask you take root. I said, don't mess up Bastille Days. Don't do it. Fight wherever else you want. If you want to fight on Water Street, I mean, I would rather you not, but if you must, if there's an ass that you see on Brady Street that you want to kick, again, not condoning it, but by all means, kick it. Kick that ass. Just don't kick the ass or get your ass kicked at Bastille Days. Can I just have one festival? You guys can have the rest. And what happened? You know, it made me, for a moment, think about moving out of this damn city. Maybe even moving out of this state, because I am one that is very frustrated. All of this talk and all of this rhetoric and all of these campaign promises, and today we are going to talk about a number of campaign promises because I want you to be aware of them. And what we're going to do over time is we're going to track these campaign promises because this is the time to do it. Because this is when people who are campaigning for public office, they're going to promise you the world on a silver platter. And we're going to hold them to that. And it's going to guide our discussions into the future. Because if you are voting for someone because of what they are promising, let's just make sure that they are making good on those promises. But for those of you that are sick and tired and sick and fed and up, you might want to relocate. So we have a YouTube question for you today. I'm just curious, as, you know, we here have inquisitive temperaments. Have you recently considered relocating? Thought about moving maybe out of your current city, maybe to another county? Have you thought about moving to another state because you're just tired and sick and tired of waiting for the public education system to be fully funded, and you're sick and you're tired of all of the fightings and the shootings and all of the violences and, I guess, all of the street encampments in Madison? You're just tired of it. Have you considered relocating? I'm going to take a break. When I come back from the break, I'm going to get into some details of a very commonly recited statistic, but it seems that this statistic is not making it to the lips of the candidates that are running for governor. Have you ever heard that Wisconsin is one of the worst places to raise a black child? Have you ever heard that? That's not a good thing. Now, I've heard it many times over, and there's a whole bunch of different measures that they look at to determine that Wisconsin, Milwaukee in particular, not a very good place to raise a black child. But it's interesting because on the flip side, it's one of the best places to raise a white child. You would think that if you want more votes, because, you know, the person who has the most votes wins. That's how elections go. If you get one more vote than somebody else, yay. If you get one less vote than somebody else, boo. Wouldn't that conversation be worth attacking if you were trying to get votes? This is one of the worst places to raise a black child, and some of you are not waiting for that to be remedied. You are just going to move to another place where statistically damn near anywhere else you go in the country, and I'm going to give you all the details on the other side, it will be a better place to raise your African-American child and to see more success for your black family. So the question is, are you moving on? Is it time for you to move on? Are you looking around? Are you looking in other places and other states? I even have a list of states that when people get fed up with Wisconsin, the states they are most likely to move to. And I think it very well may shock you. So we're going to go through some details of where Wisconsinites are going when they're fed up and they're tired and they're sick and they're sick and they're tired of the high taxes and low performing schools. If you're a black African-American person and you want to have more opportunities for success, where do you go? And also, why aren't these candidates talking about something that should be a problem for everybody? Wisconsin shouldn't be one of the worst places in the country to raise a black child. At the same time, it's one of the best to raise a white child. So we're going to get into that today. And also, we're going to talk about some policy-related things as well. And of course, you all are more than welcome to participate. There's a whole bunch of ways in which you can do that. You can text us at 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. You can also call that number. Sometimes I answer. Sometimes Xavier answers. Sometimes nobody answers. You can go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device. You can search 1017 The Truth and hit subscribe. And then you'll just be thrust with great force into the YouTube chat. There's a lot of thrusting in the YouTube chat. There's many thrusts, very powerful thrusts. Conversational thrusts only, not the kind of thrusting that Al does. That's a different kind of thrusting. But we do some of that too. You know what I mean? Share your thoughts, feelings, and opinions. Have you considered moving out? Have you considered relocating? Do you want to get the hell out of here because this is not the best place for you and the taxes are too high and the wages are too low and the crime is just unbearable? We would love to get your sentiments. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes exclusively on 101.7 FM in Milwaukee. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Should I pull up and remind you? Tell me long enough to find you.
LaRon wants to know, what are the variables that determine Milwaukee is a bad place to raise a black child? Are the parents' education levels and involvement in their children's education included? No, that's subjective stuff. We measure, like, the performance of the schools, incomes, job availability, that kind of stuff. We measure social factors. We measure amenities in neighborhoods. Do you have hospitals and healthcare in your neighborhood? Hell, do you have grocery stores in your neighborhood? Do you have access to like healthy lifestyle activities, bike trails, that kind of stuff? Now, there's different organizations that measure different variables, as you put it, LT, but it's a combination of factors. So just think personally for yourself. What do you want to see in your neighborhood or your community? And when you, if you've recently moved, what amenities and what factors were you looking for? Were you looking for good public transportation? Were you looking for thriving nightlife? Were you looking for restaurants and entertainment? Were you looking for sports teams in which you can go and be a super fan? I think some of it is subjective, but there are some pretty objective measures. And number one is usually education. How are the systems of education? Now, we can move the blame all over the place, which is probably a smart thing to do, because if we move the blame on why educational outcomes in Milwaukee are particularly low, then you never fix anything because you're just kicking the blame around like a football. Is it the curriculum itself? Is it a cultural incompetency of the teachers and the administrators? Are they too heavily focused on discipline? Are the class sizes too big? Maybe it is a funding issue. Maybe we are being too disrespectful to alternatives to the Milwaukee public school system. There's a whole bunch of different factors, but I'm going to get into a couple few of the details. This one comes from a study done by the Annie E. Casey Foundation. The best and worst states to raise a child in 2026. The article begins by saying children's well-being declined across much of the United States between 2019 and 2024, according to a new report that found nearly 3 in 5 states are now performing worse than they were before the COVID-19 pandemic. The latest kids count data book from the Annie E. Casey Foundation ranks states on a range of measures affecting children, from education and health outcomes to economic security and family circumstances. While some states made gains, the report found that overall child well-being nationally slipped during the 5-year period between 2019 and 2024. The report ranked New Hampshire as the best state for child well-being in 2026, while Mississippi placed last. Research shows that kids who are healthy, safe, fed, educated, and surrounded by strong family relationships have a much better chance to thrive and contribute as independent adults, said Leslie Beauceret, vice president of external affairs at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. We know that today's children are tomorrow's workforce, so the strength of the economy in the future is tied to the well-being of kids today. The report assessed states using 16 indicators. That's a lot. Across 4 categories: economic well-being, education, health, family, and community. New Hampshire topped the rankings with a score of 838 out of 1,000. It was followed by Massachusetts, Utah, Vermont, and Minnesota. 5 of the top 10 states were located in the Northeast, continuing a long-standing trend of stronger child well-being outcomes in that region. Connecticut, New Jersey, and Vermont. That's where Bernie Sanders is from. Maybe his democratic socialisms is helping the children in Vermont. Kidding, it probably isn't. Placed among the nation's highest-ranked states, the Midwest also performed well overall, with Minnesota, Nebraska, which is not in the Midwest. Nebraska doesn't even count. I bet most of you can't even name a city in Nebraska. I don't know why they call it the Midwest. The Midwest is just like a general category. Personally, I think the Midwest is only Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Michigan just, no, Michigan doesn't feel Midwestern to me because it touches Canada. So, no. Indiana's not the Midwest because that's the South. Ohio is too far to the right. Illinois is not the Midwest because Chicago. So it's just us, Minnesota, and Iowa. And I really would like to kick Iowa out of the Midwest, but I feel like they just need to stay because I can't just have the Midwest being two states. But I firmly disagree with Nebraska being included in the Midwest. The Midwest also performed well overall with Minnesota, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Iowa finishing in the top 10. The highest-ranked states for child well-being are, I'm going to start at number 10, Iowa, number 9, Nebraska, number 8, Wisconsin. Number 7, Connecticut. Number 6, New Jersey. Number 5, Minnesota. Number 4, Vermont. Number 3, Utah. Number 2, Massachusetts. And number 1, New Hampshire. So this was a study done by the Annie E. Casey Foundation where they looked at 16 different metrics and they scored these states on child well-being out of a score of 1,000, with the highest state being New Hampshire, scoring 838. Wisconsin also scored high, and you have to wonder what is missing that if you were to ask most African Americans about the well-being of children here, because don't we spend an awful lot of time discussing what to do with the kids, how to educate the kids, what kind of programs we need for the kids, what do we need to build for the kids, how do we stop the kids from fighting and doing all of the terrible things, how do we stop the kids from doing the takeover? I don't know if that means that we're providing good, solid, safe environments for children in the Milwaukee area to grow up in and to thrive in and to be educated in, because ultimately we are creating, and we, this is us now, our responsibility, because kids don't have a lot of say-so of what goes on in the world. We are supposed to be creating a world in which they can realize their full potential, because they are going to be the workforce in the future. And if you plan to, I don't know, live, you're going to want to make sure that you are doing everything that you can as a voter, as an informed citizen, as a community member, to provide the best outcomes for children. Because as we get older into our sunset years, and some of us are already there, we're going to want a solid workforce that is working, paying taxes, and contributing to Social Security and Medicare. So this is, some of this is our responsibility, even though we want to just dismiss kids as somebody else's problem. Eventually, they're going to be everybody's problem, especially if they find their way through that pipeline to prison. That, again, is everybody's problem. So this was the Annie E. Casey Foundation's details on the best places to raise a state. I got another one here from Wallet Hub. So Wallet Hub, they're like a real estate company, and they provide recommendations and information via their website and other places. If you're going to move, here's where you should go. Here's the amenities that these different places have. It says, when evaluating the best states to raise children, objective quality of life metrics such as public school performance. So that's going to rank very high, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what, because if you're a young family or you want to start a family, you really do want to look at the quality of the education before you consider moving to a place. Because more often than not, the taxes you are going to pay for the house that you buy is going to fund that school. And if you want your children to have the best shot at life, you at least want them coming out of high school. You know, knowing how to read is very helpful. It helps so much knowing how to read food labels, warning labels. It's just, it's a helpful, traffic signs. It helps so much. Knowing how to read. Math, too, is another good one. It's very helpful. And also, don't you want your kids to know how to sign their name? Can you imagine not knowing how to write and read in cursive? I just don't understand how. Data from comprehensive independent analyses, including the Wallet Hub Best States to Raise a Family and Child Well-Being Assessments by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, consistently point to specific regions where children thrive. So in this list, Wisconsin is number 4 out of 50 states. Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, New Hampshire, and New Jersey. And so I'm giving you this information because we are routinely told that Wisconsin is one of the worst places to raise a black child. but in several different studies, credible studies, Wisconsin ranks the highest for white children. The fact that this is not being brought up and discussed in the gubernatorial campaign should tell us everything that we need to know. The issues and problems of black people, if they're not going to be solved at the local level, then there's not going to be much of an agenda at the state level to address any of these issues. So I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk about the states that you all are considering moving to. And there's a tremendous amount of information on when someone relocates, where they came from, and then where they are going to. And some of the states that Wisconsinites are moving to, I was shocked by a couple of them, but I bet when I read the list, some of you probably have considered moving to these places, because if you're a black African-American person, statistically, your child is going to get a better education and have a better shot of a successful and prosperous future in any of these states except for Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin ranks either eighth or fourth out of all 50 states as the best place to raise a white Caucasian child who's got blonde hair and the bluest of eyes. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
When combining the best available data sources, including U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey, the ACS, IRS county-to-county migration tax return data, because when you file your taxes, they ask you, have you worked in any other state? And then people will say on their taxes, yes, I worked in Wisconsin. Now I'm working in another state. Ask if you paid taxes in another state. So that's some of the data that we use to determine people's migration patterns. And some of the places that people move to when they leave Wisconsin, I don't understand. IRS county-to-county migration tax return data, moving company data. There's data from United Van Lines and U-Haul. That makes a hell of a lot of sense, because if you're renting a U-Haul to move all of your Wisconsin stuff out of Wisconsin, don't you got to tell the U-Haul people where the hell you're taking the U-Haul truck? So U-Haul actually logs the data. And also United Van Lines as well. They have information on when people are using their trucks and their services and where they are relocating from and to. Let me just go ahead and say this. Moving is terrible. I hate it. I'm not going to help you move either. Why are you moving anyway? Why did you pick where you picked? And why didn't you do a better job of picking a place where you can stay there longer? It is not my fault or my problem that you need to move. Furniture has evaded technology in a very unusual way, because you would think that it would be lighter and collapsible, and you don't have turn your end. No, raise your no. The other way. Okay, we're gonna rotate it. There's nothing worse than that. And then you get tired, and you're sweating. I hate moving. I haven't moved. Oh my God, what year is this? I haven't moved. I just haven't. I haven't moved in 22 years. Now, I have known people that have moved. Hey, Sherwin, what are you doing Saturday? Always a pitfall question. Always got to make up something. Well, I was thinking about going to Alberta. If not, I was probably going to take a trip to New Mexico, and I'm going to be gone for an amount of time to where I'm not going to be available for you. Oh, that's too bad. I was wondering if you were going to help us move. And here's what makes it even worse. You'll pay a moving company how much money? Whatever the rate is. But then if I help you move, you giving me beer and pizza? I'll fight you. Thank you guys for helping us move. Let's order a pizza. What am I, in third grade? You're not going to pay me for my time? My knees and my elbows are all scratched up. I've broken several ribs moving your dresser. I've helped move people that didn't even take stuff out of their dressers. And we were moving large pieces of bedroom furniture with stuff still in it. Shout out to people that help everybody move, because I'm not. Don't call me. When combining the best available data sources, including the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Survey, IRS county-to-county migration tax return data, moving company data from United Van Lines and the U-Haul, and demographic trends, the picture is remarkably consistent. States Wisconsinites commonly move to, at number 10, Michigan. And the reason stated, family ties and regional mobility. The number 9 state that Wisconsinites relocate to is Tennessee. Not shocked by that. Lower taxes and easier retirement. There is no tax on your pensions and there is no state income tax in Tennessee. However, they're known to have some pretty high sales taxes, but I'd imagine all of these things balance out. Number 8 is not a shock to me because many of my white friends after high school scattered. They went to colleges and universities. A lot of them did not come back. A favorite of my whites, and they're my whites, they're mine. I grew up with them. I claim ownership of them. A lot of them moved to Colorado. And one of the reasons Wisconsinites cite as to wanting to move to Colorado is the outdoor lifestyle and the technology. Number 7, bit baffling, but not entirely shocked, is California, because California offers specialized careers and great universities. Number 6, North Carolina. The banking industry is huge. Charlotte is one of the banking capitals of the United States, if not the world. Lots of industry, lots of jobs in finance and financial services in Charlotte. People also cite, these are Wisconsinites now, when you ask them why they moved to the specific states they moved to, technology and a lower cost of living. Number 5 is, now I'm not sure about this one because it's just too damn hot, and they're going to run out of water soon, Arizona. Sorry, I lied to you, Martin. I just didn't want to go to Arizona. People are citing retirement lifestyle and the weather. If it's 75 or 80 degrees on Christmas, I don't want it. It's wrong. I have been in warm weather climate places for holidays, and it just doesn't feel right. Seeing Christmas lights on a palm tree is sacrilege. Christmas lights need to be on a pine tree or an evergreen tree with a light dusting of snow. Otherwise, I don't like it. Number 4, not shocked by this, Florida. Retirement, climate, no income tax is what Wisconsinites say. Number 3 is a shock to no one. Why this has been a favorite, especially of the blacks. Why do black people love Texas so much? Why? Texas is unnecessarily big and has terrible infrastructure, and it's a red state that has very little public and social investment. But y'all seem to love Texas. When Wisconsinites move to Texas, they state jobs, lower taxes, and business growth, and I didn't know this. I guess Texas is particularly supportive of entrepreneurs. Number 2, just to the west of us, Minnesota. Wisconsinites cite the Twin Cities economy, healthcare, and technology. This one that's number 1, I'm a little upset about this, and I almost don't want to read it to you. I don't know what's wrong with some people that you would choose this state. This is the number 1 state that Wisconsinites. It's like moving to this state is like going backwards. But this is the number 1 state that Wisconsinites move to when they've had enough of Wisconsin. Let me recap the others first, because this number 1 is not going to make any sense. Number 10 is Michigan. Number 9, Tennessee. Number 8, Colorado. Number 7, California. Number 6, North Carolina. Number 5 is Arizona. Number 4 is Florida. Number 3, Texas. Number 2, Minnesota. Number 1, Illinois. What? Why would you, as a Wisconsinite, move to the land of thick pizza? Wisconsinite sight, Chicago jobs and the economy, family, better educational opportunities, and then they say proximity. So maybe they don't want to move far away from Wisconsin because they still have family ties and other social ties in Wisconsin. But I was really shocked by that because the cost of living in Illinois is absolutely insane, not to mention their property taxes are high. The real estate is insanely expensive. You have people that are from Chicago that buy condos in Milwaukee so they can come here and experience the Milwaukee summers, and it's dramatically cheaper. Imagine buying a condo, because some of the condos that we have on the river in the city of Milwaukee that come with boat slips, $300,000, $400,000 in Chicago, because they also have housing and real estate developments along the Chicago River, just the same as we do here along the Milwaukee River, the KK and the Menominee Rivers. But those are $2 and $3 million condos. So sometimes they're 90% less expensive here in Milwaukee. But I never thought that Illinois would be the top destination for Wisconsinites to move to. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So guess I'll see you guys in Illinois, I reckon. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't move to Illinois. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Just got my hair done. I make them brand new. Going out tonight, feeling sexy in my mood. Pink blush on my face, brown lip liner, lip gloss new.
Now he wanna lick my bum, but clock my raw to talk, talk, talk. Got him going crazy for that poo, na 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 nah. I get what I want, I got that ooh shalaka laka. He do what I say for that ooh ma da da da.
I had to play it, I'm sorry. It's really catchy. I'm
sorry. Negro, please.
No, no, don't Negro please me. What's the name of the song? I have no business playing that. It's called Pink Blush, in case you were wondering.
Negro, please.
And the artist, her name is Dolly Babe. Let's go check the YouTube chat. I know y'all have plenty to say about these relocations people are choosing when they leave Wisconsin. Oh, let me check the YouTube poll. Question is, have you recently considered relocating? More than half of you at 55% have in fact considered relocating. If you all don't mind me asking, and I don't care if you mind or not, what are your reasons for wanting to relocate or why you are considering it? Is it taxes? Is it crime? Is it, I don't know, housing shortages here? What are the reasons that job opportunities, the economy? Are you looking for higher wages? Are you specialized in a particular industry, and does another state or another region offer you more opportunities where you happen to be specialized? I am very, very curious. Manic says California is a Garden of Eden, a paradise to live in or see. But believe it or not, you won't find it so hot if you ain't got that do-re-mi. Yeah, California is very expensive. Maybe I could go to California and I can get discovered and I'll be an actor. And I'll be in a very funny sitcom. Or maybe, just maybe, I'll get a starring Hollywood role. I could be a Hollywood actor. I could win an Oscar.
Negro, please.
Hey! Very talented. Very talented. Linda says, I strongly suggest that study deeply flawed, unethical, and therefore not a credible report when all aspects of the education system included but not limited to non-white students, POS. we sometimes forget that in the state of Wisconsin, which is surprisingly large and incredibly boring and mostly empty and desolate, black people are only 4% of the state's population. That's all of us. That's our elderly. That's our middle-aged folk. That's our youth. That's our confined population as well. That's everybody. We're 4%. But we're only like 1.9 or 2% of the voters. So we are a minuscule number. But here's the thing. In close elections, maximize voter turnout amongst the African-American community, even though we're roughly 2% of the voters, can make the difference in an election. So I want people to have maybe a different perspective. Instead of just thinking that black issues are being excluded because of race, that might have something to do with it, but how much money are you going to spend and how much time and effort are you going to exert over 2% of the voters when you can potentially bring in 2%, 3%, or 4% of new voters that have never voted before? If you have certain issues and policy platforms, you might bring new people into the fold of voting in elections as opposed to catering to the African-American community. And our issues essentially have not changed. They've all been the exact same. And it just seems like in a post-racial society, people are looking past putting together policy ideas and platforms specifically for the African-American community. And there's no guarantee that we're going to vote in a high number. And in this election, please don't be fooled. I know a lot of folks are excited about at least one of the candidates that is running for governor, and that's David Crowley. Our participation is going to be so low. It's going to be so miserably disappointing. And I can already tell because I'm watching the early vote numbers. And while I know a lot of you would prefer to vote on Election Day, whenever there is a really high turnout election, early vote numbers are always a little bit higher. As of yesterday, and we've had early voting going on since for like a week. I think it started somewhere around July 30th. 3,000 people have voted citywide at 6 different sites. That's insanely low. In order for a particular candidate to be successful, that number needs to be at least 10 times what it actually is. So, I get it. As a practical matter, now, as a personal matter, of course I want those that are running for public office to include the issues of the African-American community, because we're a part of the state of Wisconsin as well. And plus, what would Wisconsin be without us? Well, it might be a little quieter. It might tip a little better, that's for sure. No, let me not say that. They would miss us so very much, our 4% of the Wisconsin population. If there was no more blacks here, I guess they could all go out on Water Street and not have any problems, I guess.
They still do that.
Water Street looks like the great replacement theory. So keeping in mind, when I was going to Water Street, when I was in college in the 1990s, the black people were an extreme minority. It was all white folks.
Yeah, I'd probably say they started coming about 4 years ago.
Well, they started barricading the streets probably in the 2010s. So when they tore the freeway down, 145, and then Fond du Lac Avenue turns right into McKinley, so you can go right from the north side of the city of Milwaukee and then, boom, be in the middle of downtown. There's more ease of access to downtown from black communities than there was, say, 20-something years ago. And I think that probably had something to do with it. But, no, they would miss us if we weren't here. And maybe that's a part of the plot. And I don't want to delve into conspiracy theories because somebody is liable to believe them. Mitt Romney had a immigration plan. And now, obviously, Mitt Romney, when he was running for president in 2012, he didn't win. But his immigration plan was, it was simple, but it was also very offensive. And I wonder if his suggested immigration plan was one that has been picked up by other candidates for public office. He said he wanted to make life so miserable for migrants that they would self-deport. Give them nothing, offer them nothing, close their pathway to citizenship, make sure they can't get any kind of public benefit whatsoever. He just had a whole host of things that he was going to do where they would have to consider, well, maybe I'm better off in my home country because America's not doing anything for me. But he literally said, we're going to make life for them so miserable that they're going to relocate. You have to wonder, because when black people leave the traditional black neighborhoods, they get gentrified and get beautified almost overnight. Brewersville is a perfect example. So maybe, just maybe, subconsciously or subliminally, we're just not going to invest in the African-American community. Not invest at the same per capita amount that we would invest somewhere else. Brady Street's an example. Brady Street used to be a heroin-infested, junky dump. It was disgusting. In fact, Brady Street was so violent that they stopped doing the Brady Street Festival for like 20 years. They just stopped it. And we're familiar with that. Like, if we have a festival and there's a violent incident, they'll shut it down. But Brady Street, from like the early 1980s until the early 2000s, they couldn't do a Brady Street Festival because of how dilapidated the neighborhood was and all of the crime and all of the drugs, et cetera, et cetera. But then the city was like, oh, we see some opportunity here. Let's create a business improvement district. Let's offer some subsidies. Let's offer grants to businesses that want to come and relocate to Brady Street. Let's clean up and beautify some of the housing. Let's offer people these things called facade grants, where if you do some exterior beautification things to your house, the city will reimburse you for it. And lo and behold, Brady Street became a go-to destination, but it did not used to be that way. River West as well. River West was the hood. Still kind of is. It is. Every now and again, a Jimmy John's driver will get shot in River West. Now, don't let it fool you, but it's also a very unusual bohemian, hippie, artist kind of community. If you are a lady, whatever that means nowadays, okay, and you don't want to shave your body hair, and you see that bathing is optional, River West is a very comfortable place for you to live. And listen, I'm not judging anybody, but there are some people that just, oh, I don't like all that water and soap. It's so intrusive.
And that's the truth.
Water is triggering. Then you move to River West and nobody will notice the difference. Or there's another unique specimen that I see, and I don't want to offend anybody. I really don't. I don't set out when I wake up in the morning time. I don't wake up and say, ooh, who am I going to offend today? What I have realized is it doesn't matter what I say. Somebody is going to get offended, so I might as well speak the 101.7 truth. If you're one of those people, and I know we talk about hair a lot, and hair is very important. Hair is not important to me because I ain't got none. But for some of you, hair is your expression of who you are. It's heritage. It's history. It's culture. Hair means so very much. Side note on that, if hair means so much, why do some of y'all wear other people's hair? Neither here nor there. It's fine. But then there's some people that like to grow the dreadlocks. Pretty common amongst the African-American blacks. But if you're a white person with dreads, River West is the neighborhood for you. There's something about, and I hope I'm not offending any of the whites out there with dreads, but also if you wear your hair the way you like to wear your hair, what I say be damn. You keep doing you, boo-boo. In fact, if you like it, I love it. When somebody says, if you like it, I love it, we actually don't love it at all.
You should see my date on Friday.
You have a date on Friday with a girl that has dreadlocks, Xavier?
A couple.
Yeah, a couple? A couple of women with dreadlocks? That's filthy.
No, a couple dreadlocks in the head.
She only has a couple, huh?
Yes.
Well, here, tell you what. Here's some sound advice. Are you just getting to know her, or have you known her for a while?
Oh, I know her.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, if you were just getting to know her and if you didn't trust her and you wanted to invite her over to your apartment and you weren't sure about her, she might be a thief, all you'd have to do is hide your valuables under the soap. She'll never find it.
Oh, no. She washes.
Okay. That's rare.
She's one of those Madison hippies.
Oh, they're even worse. They're even more filthy. They always have dirty feet. They never wear shoes. I got to take a commercial break. So when we come back, we're going to talk about politics a little bit, but from a different perspective, because I hear a lot of you have a tremendous amount of respect for Mayor Zohran Mamdani. Well, let's take a look. Let's see what he's done. And maybe we want that here. Maybe. We'll talk about that on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.